Would you please turn with me to Romans chapter 8? Let's look at verse 28 through 30. Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Would you bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, as we read Your precious word and hear these doctrines of grace, we don't understand all of them, Heavenly Father. Yet we believe them. And we believe them, Lord, because You've given us the capacity and desire to come to You in faith. Would You help us, Lord, as we worship You today? We have not come here to be blessed. We have come here to worship God. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We have heard it read about already. But now, Lord, we come to the point of time where we embrace that mercy regarding Your salvation by grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're talking about irresistible grace. It is the I, of course, and the TULIP acronym. And we're dealing with the doctrines of grace. So why do we want to do that? The reason we want to do that is because it has to do with salvation. Salvation is the most critical, very important, the very ultimate area of life of anybody. We need to know about salvation. And the doctrines of grace is where we get that from. It is the teachings that God teaches us about salvation. As we come to this point of the part of Scripture, we have talked about total depravity, which means that we're all sinners, which means that we have no merit in ourselves to warrant not one notice of God. None of our good works is worth a flip, not any. Doesn't mean that we're bad as we could be. We could be a whole lot worse. Then we talked about unconditional salvation. That means that God saves those that are depraved. It means that the conditions of salvation cannot be met by the ones that God saves. So He meets them Himself. And He does that through the blood of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who came to the world in a human flesh via the Virgin Mary, fathered by the Holy Spirit, walked upon this earth, never committed a sin, got up on the cross, could have called angels, 10,000 legions, the Bible says, to get Him out of it. He would not do it. He loved the Father that much. You see, the Father had given you to Him to die for, because the Father had foreloved you that much. Then last week, we found out that God doesn't save everybody. All of us wish He did. But there's a limited atonement. Christ did not die for everybody. But the ones He died for will ultimately be saved. We're going to talk about that today. These doctrines are not man-made. When you think about the doctrines of election and predestination, you either hate them or you love them. Most people that hate them are not elect. Most people that hate them do not understand the grace of God. When you do, when you understand that God's salvation is by grace alone, you will understand that the only way that you get in is by election, is by God choosing you. It is not some spiritual pride either. We ought to be some of the most humble, servant-oriented people on earth, knowing that God chose sinners like us to die on the cross for and give us eternal life. Today, again, I'm talking about the I, irresistible grace. Really, that is where all the great decrees of God, like predestination and foreknowledge, pass into time. Even though God is a timeless God, we are time creatures. And so when God calls us, at that moment is where we pass over into time to an eternal God and be. When you think about irresistible grace, what a beautiful song Judy sang. It is irresistible grace, all of grace. What a beautiful reading Greg did. All of that is true. But when you think about this acronym, this irresistible, I don't want you to think that it's something that can't be resisted. We do resist God's grace, but we don't resist it effectively. God's grace is resisted a lot. You may be resisting it right now, but I got news for you. You won't succeed. Also, when you think about irresistible grace, I don't want you to think, well, you know, it's just how God just drags us into heaven, kicking and screaming. No, God says, my people shall be a willing people in the day of my power. Really, what I want to say today is, don't ever forget that you have been saved by grace. Never forget it. Never forget that the Trinity works in all of that. That God has chosen you, God the Father, that God the Son has redeemed you, and God the Holy Spirit has called you, has notified you that you're one that God has chosen. Now, the way you know if you've been called or not is simple. Have you answered the call? If you haven't answered the call, then you haven't been called. Because when God calls, it's an effective call. Now, you might be called later on, but you're not called if you hadn't answered the call. Now, God doesn't say in His Word, by name, who all is called. But I guarantee you, He tells what their character is like. See, our calling is a holy calling. It is. And if you're living in sin, then you haven't been called, pure and simple. I did not say that you don't sin. I sin every day. I hate it. If you're struggling with sin right now in your life, then you have been called. But if you're living in it, and it doesn't matter to you, and you think you're as good as somebody else, then you haven't been called yet. It's just that simple. So what I'm talking about is a call from God. I'm not talking about some preacher call. Now, the Armenian churches, that they will come up with little crypts and scripts to get people to answer a call of the preacher. Come up and accept Jesus. Come up here and sign this card. How many salvations have we got today? All that is just call of the preacher. Now, I'm going to give you a call today. Just like that, in a sense. I'm not going to make up something. We're not going to fix hamburgers. We're not going to have a hot dog roast. What we're going to do, though, is going to tell you that God has called you, and He's called you to be like Jesus. He's called you to follow Him, okay? And so what you need to understand is that is a glorious, beautiful attraction. That call from God should be the paramount feature in your life of faith. I was I saw it on TV several years ago. They were interviewing Bo Jackson, football player over at Auburn, professional, whatever, after. But Bo Jackson said that when he was in high school, he got a call from Paul Bear Bryant, famed coach, University of Alabama. And although Bo went to Auburn, you know, but he said that fall in his little community, he actually talked to Paul Bear Bryant, who called him on that phone. And he said in that interview, he said, you know, he said, people in that community would come to my little house, my mom and dad's little house there, and said they would stand in the porch and look in the door and just look at that phone that Bear Bryant called on. I mean, that's how much it meant to him. You know what? We ought to remember where God has called you. It might be in a church somewhere, but it ought to mean something to us. Now God calls us in different ways. I remember God calling me when I was about 16 or 17 at Upper Black Creek Church from a sermon a preacher preached, and all I remember was Christ is all. I remember Charles Spurgeon giving the account that he was called in a little church that he went by mistake in, and the preacher said, look unto me and be ye saved. What is it to you? God uses His word. He uses people. He uses the preached word that He does not have to have that. To say that a preacher or the gospel must go to some island somewhere to preach to people that's never heard it or else they will go to hell paints a pretty puny God. Now that doesn't mean we ought not to go there. What we need to understand in the doctrines of grace is God is already there. See, when you think about the call of God, you got two forms. You got a general call. And that's what I'm doing. That's what you're to do. That's what we're to do. That's what Jesus did when He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's the general call. But then He calls specifically. He says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I'll never cast out. It's a general call. That's what I'm doing. Why doesn't everybody hear that call? Because they haven't been given a hearing ear by God. Did you know that in this room right now, in this church sanctuary, there's all kind of radio waves, TV waves going on? I can't hear them. You can't hear them. You know why? I don't have an antenna. You put up an antenna, you're going to get it. You get Jesus. You get Jesus because God has given you an antenna. See, the one thing I want to say one at a time. That'd be best. Number one is, when you think about irresistible grace, it's a charge. It's a charge from God. All that the apostle is doing here is charging us. You know that all things work together for good, that them that love the Lord, them that are called according to His purpose. I mean, that ought to be a charge. And you know what that's having to do? That's not that everything's going to work out just like you want it in life. It doesn't mean that you're going to have everything. Doesn't mean you're not going to have cancer. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a broken marriage. Doesn't mean you're going to not have an addiction to deal with. What it does matter is God has called you. What it means is that as you deal with the things of life, you're going to understand these doctrines of grace have a merit. That's what's going to hold you up. the charge. It's the power that matters, that answers the call. You get a lot of things. We should buy toys for the kids or whatever. You got to buy a battery separate. It's not any good. The call's not any good unless you have the charge, unless you have the power to make it work. And God does that. See, what I want you to know with me, and that's why we come here to worship God, is we're coming to say that God does it all. He does it all. And He's in charge, but He's also in charge of the charge. Okay? He's giving us power. See, God calls us to do things that are absolutely impossible to do, then He enables us to do it. I mean, that's the charge of grace. He tells us His grace is sufficient. How are we going to know that? Because we have to go through some hard things. We have to go through some situations. We don't understand. But how in the world are we going to know we're called unless we have to deal with life and the aspects of it that is different? It's a charge God's given us. And what a blessing to know that God has called us in the first place. Secondly, when I think about God's call, it's a call that changes us. The Apostle Paul, for example. Here's a man that had all the academics of religion. And so, you remember he was persecuting the church. Putting Christians in jail, having them killed. But one day on the road to Damascus, God called that man. And what happened to that man? He changed. He's not persecuting anymore. He's believing God. He's embracing the church, planting churches. Instead of saying, "Lord, this is what I'm going to do," he said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" When God calls us, He changes us. And you know the thing about God? He calls some of the worst. Don't ever think you're not good enough to be called, or nobody else is. That's who God calls. There was a man by the name of Zacchaeus, that climbed up a tree to see Jesus. He wasn't climbing up there to see Jesus because he thought a lot of him. He was just curious. He had seen a man or heard about a man that turned the world upside down. But what's going to happen when Jesus shot him out of that tree? He called him. He turned him upside down. There wasn't any worse man in the Jerusalem than Zacchaeus. And he extorted people, cheated and lied. But when Jesus said, "Zacchaeus," he came down from that tree. Are you in a tree? You're trying to hide from God, aren't you? You won't do it. I'm going to tell you, God's call can get there. It is a call that travels. It is a call that cannot be hidden. "Zacchaeus," Jesus said, "today I must go to your house." Did Zacchaeus say, "Not me, I can't go"? He came down. He starts telling Jesus what all he wanted to do and he hadn't done. Jesus already knew it. Changes. You know why? See, here's the Holy Spirit. I said it before we're going to tell. The Holy Spirit is the application of God's call. So then what happens is the Holy Spirit calls us and we follow that call. Because we have been given the Holy Spirit. That's what the new birth does. So it changes. We go from darkness to light. We go from bondage to freedom. I mean, how does this happen? It happens because of this irresistible, effectual call of God. It's like this. God said, "Let there be light." Was there light? Yes. You know what God says to a poor sinner? Let there be grace. And there is grace. Don't try to spend your time trying to figure God out. You just answer the call. You might not be able to preach, you might not be able to sing, but you can answer God's call. And you be so thankful that God has called you. Changes you. Changes you. It's effectual. Changes your life. You know, people say, well, I gave my life to Jesus and I turned a new leaf. No. That comes from God. I already told you, you give your life to Jesus Christ and He will give your life back to you. Now, is that what you want or not? He does say, he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Now you can trust God with that. And it really takes that to get to the point of whether we're going to answer God's call or the call of our friends or the call of our feelings or the call of our emotions, of religion, or so on. I'm going to tell you, this is serious business when I answer God's call. There's a lot of Christians that trying to resist the call of God. I know I have. I told Deacon one time over in Antioch Church, I was not going to go over there and preach. 3 sleepless nights later, I said, yes, sir. Whatever you need me to do, I will try to do it. Do not make any excuses with God. You remember, Luke 14, there's a whole array of people that were bidden or invited to the great supper. All of them made up excuses. You're not making up excuses, are you? Of salvation in Christ that died for you, the blood that was shed for you? Hey, guys, I'm talking about something that affects your life and the life of everybody else you have any contact with. I already said it's not a matter about getting good enough. You go ahead and give it. Jesus might have changed water into wine, but I'm going to tell you what this call does. It changes wine into water. It can take a person that is the alcoholic sought or addicted to drug or bound every day on the pornography internet, and God, when He calls that person, can change all that and make you sit in a church not so much saying, well, when's this little preacher going to shut up so I can get out of here, but you will say, feed me. I want to hear God's grace. It's where we come into time, that's when we lose all account. I mean, when you answer God's call and the change it's about living one day at a time. You don't have to worry about whatever happens next week, what you did last week. Lastly, though, I want to talk about the change, C-H-A-I-N. Because there's more to salvation than just the irresistible call. You can go down to Tybee and look at the Atlantic Ocean, but you won't see it all. You hear me? You won't see it all. That's how God's love is. You know, might look as far as you can see, but you won't see it all. You look up at this universe tonight, but you won't see it all. You're just going to see a glimpse of it. But see, this chain is like this. It's God's foreknowledge. That means God foreloved you. That's what that means. It's God's predestination. What that means is God has given those he loved a destination. Don't think about that as being, well, he's just given me, I'm going to heaven. Well, that's true, but what he's destined you and me to be is conformed to his son. And what you're having in your life that you might not like is God chipping away everything in your life that don't match what Jesus is like. So foreknowledge and predestination, regeneration. Did you know you don't have anything to do with your new birth? Do you know you don't have anything to do with your physical birth? It's all of God. See? But God regenerates you. Who does he regenerate? Those that he chose. Those that he predestinated. Now do not think, or think, don't let that go to your head. Let it go to your heart. Then he regenerates, that's when he calls. I mean, how foolish it would be to me go down to the cemetery and start preaching to the graves. You think I'm going to get much response? I might not today, but I might. See, a good way to see there's just a call. You remember Lazarus? Jesus spoke Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. He was stinking and the worms were starting to embed in his body. Man's been dead 4 days, Scripture says. I mean, Mary and Martha didn't even want Jesus to go up there. Said, man, he stinks. Don't fool with him. That's what sin does. Do you realize how putrid and decaying and how sin separates you from everything and everybody worthwhile? And yet we still toy with it and we believe the accusation of Satan. What did Jesus say to Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. Did he come? Did Jesus say, well, Lazarus, just wiggle your toes a little bit for me. Let me see you got any life in you. He said, come. He come. You will too. God calls you to serve him. You feel impressed to serve him. This little local church, you come. But when you come, you know what you're saying? You've been called of God. What you're saying is you've been predestinated, elected, chosen. You might not want to use those words, but it's the truth. And you can either come now or come later. Sister LaRue Mallard told me one time she was about 8 or 10 years old and God called her to be in a church. They said she was too young. They wouldn't let her join. She told me she ended up in the hospital. She had made her plumb sick. Said she got out of that place, out of that hospital. She said, I'm coming down the aisles. And she did. She kept on serving the Lord. See, I'm telling you, answering God's call is serious. You can ignore all the politicians' calls if you want to. I'm not up here advertising something. I think too much of the gospel is just like some advertisement, like a commercial. I'll tell you what, I told Penny last night, I was trying to watch the Georgia game, and there's so many commercials, you can't even get into it. I mean, there's more commercials than there are football. I mean, that's how it is with the gospel. I'm not up here with no commercial. I'm telling you what God has done not only for you, but to you. Now the question is, have you answered the call? If you haven't, why not? Because there's a part of it that we have a part in, but God gives us the route to do that. I mean, what did I say? Regeneration, calling. Then there's repentance and faith. The Scriptures do say that we believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. And to repent. Jesus preached that over and over again. Well, do you know that the goodness of God, the Scripture says, leads you to repentance? So it comes from God. Where does faith come from? It comes to those that God has already saved and chosen and given His Spirit to. All people don't have faith. Do you? Then use your faith. Grow your faith. Thank God for it. Are you convicted of sin in your life? Thank God for it. It's one of the greatest blessings you'll ever have. Don't try to pulverize your calloused heart and soul by just going on and doing things, thinking that you'll do it enough and you won't even have any feelings anymore. A lot of people have seared consciences. You answer God's call, He'll give you fresh grace. After that sanctification, after the regeneration, rather, you know what God does? He adopts you. Gives you repentance and faith. He adopts you into His family. God does that. Now, we work with God in sanctification. That's the next one. What happens when sanctification? It's a process. God justifies us. Got to get that in there. He declares us just, righteous, because of the merit of Christ. He says that in Romans 3 and other places. But He adopts us, and we go into sanctification and glorification. Notice in the Scriptures that it's glorified past tense. See, it's God that makes this happen. Jesus Christ didn't come to this world to offer the gospel and see how many people would take it or leave it. He came to give it. He came to make it effective to the people that He died for. And that's exactly how it is. I say it's a chain. But we just see a little bit of it until the call, the effectual call. I remember one day I bogged my truck down back in the pasture. And it was in a muddy place I shouldn't have been in the first place, but I had to go get the tractor, and I got a chain, and I hooked to the bumper of the truck. Tractor hitch bogged. The chain was completely under the water, the mud. I couldn't see the chain, except on each end where it was hooked. But when I tightened it, I could see the chain. What we need to do in the doctrine of grace is tighten up. We need to understand that when we get in the muck and blood of life and we need to get down in those lower states of life, what's going to tighten up is that chain of God's grace. It's going to pull us out. It is. Thankful to God for His mercy and grace to our lives. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful blessing to be called of God. Don't neglect so great a salvation. Don't presume upon God's grace. You answer the call. You know, sometimes this is what grace does. It makes us think when we're first saved, I think we're just so elated and joyful that we do think it's something that we had to do with it. But the more we get to know God, the more we realize, man, it's all of grace. I had nothing to do with it. That's the point we need to get to. It's all of God. I'm so glad that I don't have to lay down at night wondering if I've saved anybody. But it does bother me, and I have to ask the Lord to forgive me if I have neglected to answer His call. May the Lord bless you, keep you close to Him. It's irresistible. That means it's effectual. It's the most exciting event in life when God's calling. We realize it. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for calling us by Your grace. Wake us up, Lord, to Your mercy. Help us realize maybe what hell would be like, so we more appreciate what You've saved us from. Lord, we listen too much to our religions. We listen too much to our feelings and to others. Lord, tune our ears into Jesus. Give us spiritual antennas to hear your word. Lord, increase our faith. Give us a more fervent desire to love you and to thank you that you've given us that desire. Lord, we know we struggle, but it only reminds us how precious our Savior is. Thank you, Lord, that you do allow U-turns, that we can turn around by the strength you've charged us in, by your call. Thank you, Lord, for making us your sheep and for being our shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.